The author and theologian Henry Nouwen has written a book on prayer, and the book is called With Open Hands. In the beginning of the book, Nouwen tells a story about a woman who is brought into a psychiatric hospital, and she is very combative. And they are trying to get control of her and calm her down. And they see that in one of her hands, she has gripped something, and it takes two people to pry open her fingers to find out what it is. And it turns out that what she has gripped so tightly in her fist is just one small coin. And Nouwen says that the grip she had on it was as though she would lose her very self if she lost that coin. Each of us clenches something so tightly in our hands, something so precious to us that to lose it would make us feel as if we had lost our very selves. It might be our jobs, it might be our families, it might be possessions, it might be anything like that that we have accomplished or that we have a relationship with. But each of us clenches something tightly in our fists. And we tend to keep our hands so tightly closed that we could not, if we wanted to, we could not accept something better, something eternal from God. Our gospel story today talks about a king who invites people to share in a gift, but they are too busy to accept it. They have their fists clenched too tightly to accept the gift. He invites them, and they're all too busy to respond. Does that hit a little too close to home for anybody else? How often we say in our lives, I can't do that, I'm just too busy, I don't have time. Jesus invites us, and I don't mean to church, I mean to a relationship with God. And very often we say, well, I'm very busy, maybe another time. In this story, at least to me, this king that is doing the inviting sounds almost tyrannical. He is someone who berates others for not attending this banquet, and then he even throws out a man who has good intentions because the man is not properly dressed. I don't quite get this story in some ways. This is not just a simple or a minor infraction. As the gospel says, he is bound and he is thrown into the outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is not a minor offense if we have to go into the outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. But it makes me ask, okay, what is the necessary garment that this man lacked? What caused him to be thrown out for simply not being correctly dressed? Now, in the time of this story itself, in the time when it was first told, it probably was a word of judgment against the Jews, God's chosen people, because they didn't accept the gift in a way that honored God. They just assumed they were the chosen people and went on about their lives. Today, I believe that the garment that we're asked to wear is the exercise of our free will to be with God. We can only fully accept the invitation of the King. We can only be properly clothed if we allow ourselves to be changed and transformed. What keeps us from that? What is closed up in that clenched fist that prevents our acceptance? I believe it's an unwillingness to be transformed. Life with God, after all, is an active choice. We have to say we want it and act as if we want it, because only then will God give us something different and something better. We can only accept God's gift or any gift if we open the clenched fist and admit that what we've been doing and what we've been clinging to for so long isn't working. It's not a gift, after all. until it's accepted. Now, this invitation that the king issues is not just a cursory invitation. He doesn't say, everybody come to the banquet, take it or leave it. He actively goes out and tries to find everybody, goes to great lengths in improbable places to find people to come to this banquet. But life with God only begins with that invitation. As extensive and as deep as that invitation is, living for God only begins with the invitation. It cannot remain in our lives just a concept or a doctrine. Its essence and its result are both the same, a transformed life with God. The ultimate banquet to which we are invited is the union of God and human. And that union, if we will open our clenched fist and accept the gift, that union can take place right in the middle of the messy, noisy, joyful, heartbreaking city of human life. We don't wait for the rapture. We accept the rapture of being with God fully here and now. We unclench our fists and say, yes, I want to be there. God invites us to this party every day, but we rarely accept it completely. Why don't we accept this gift of transformation and of peace? I think we're nervous about the transformation that will take place. We're nervous about leaving behind what has worked for us for so many years. We don't want to hear the word of judgment that our old ways just aren't doing it for us. He's not a theological authority, but Dr. Phil puts it well when he says, how's that working for you? How's everything working for you? Do you find a deep and abiding peace consistently? And if not, why aren't you willing to unclench that fist and see what God has for you? I think we don't want to accept a word of judgment about our old ways. But sometimes that word of judgment can also be a word of consolation. The word of judgment could be, you don't need those things. And the word of comfort is that you don't need those things. We can open our hands in prayer and in acceptance and in willingness. We can let go of the things we once thought we needed and accept God's gift, which brings not only transcendence but peace. As you probably know, there is now a remake on the market of the movie Left Behind. The first time it was a low-budget TV movie, and now it's big screen Nicolas Cage, and they're retelling the story of the so-called rapture, in which people disappear from their lives because they've been raptured away. Their cars are left behind, even in the middle of driving. So the person disappears and the car crashes into someone else. There is a scene in the movie in which a baby disappears, and left there are baby clothes and toys. The Left Behind series and movie, all of these pieces to me, they miss the point of rapture. Achieving union with God isn't a story about who gets left behind. It's a story about what gets left behind. When we reach the rapture of complete union with God, whether we reach it in this life or in the next, we find that we no longer need those things we clench so tightly in the fist. If we are at one with God, we don't need to worry about whether we wear the right thing or drive the right thing or achieve the right thing. All of those efforts, after all, are an attempt to find meaning and worth and significance. And if we are at union with God, we know that our worth is found in God. Our significance is wrought by God. The meaning of our lives is the working of God's will. But we cannot accept the gifts of worth, of significance, of meaning if our hands are clenched so tightly around those things we once thought defined us. God invites us right now to be in full union with our Creator, to fulfill the goal of human life. God invites us to experience the end, not the final thing, but the end as in the goal, right now, union with God. But we can't join the banquet unless we refuse to clothe ourselves in obedience and welcome transformation. We cannot have everything else in our lives stay the same and expect God to transform us. We cannot accept God's gift if we keep our fists tightly clenched around a little coin. Of course, we're afraid to join the banquet fully, to relinquish our rationalizations that defend why we continue to stay away. But we needn't be afraid. We will not lose our very selves if we lose that coin. We will only lose our very selves if we fail to open our hands to accept the gift that God has offered us. If we want God, we will not be left behind. All that we will be left behind is that small, grubby, meaningless coin we have clenched in our fists all these many years.